Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tata Coffee Limited Q4 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jogani from ICICI Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all for the Q4 and FY18 results call for Tata Coffee Limited. We have with us today Mr. Sanjeev Sareen, MD and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkataramanan, ED Finance and CFO. Thank you and over to you, sirs.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. Sanjeev Sareen here, MD CEO of Tata Coffee. So at the start, the full year 17-18 has been a very challenging year with a combination of macroeconomic and domestic factors adversely impacting both top line and bottom line numbers. The company's standalone total income for the year is at rupees 762 crores compared to 848 crores of the previous year. Company's standalone profit before tax for the year is at rupees 81 crores versus a 182 crores and profit after tax at 63 crores compared to 139 crore for the previous year. The lower profit this year is due to a significant Robusta crop shortfall on account of an extreme unseasonal weather pattern that has impacted the region as a whole, a shortfall of instant coffee order book in one quarter, and lower terminals across crops. To put the numbers in perspective, I will recap the key factors and the various steps taken by the management to mitigate the impact in the near term while ensuring the long-term health of the company remains robust. Arabica coffee terminals remained soft through the years, with the terminals at 138 cents at the start of the year, closing at 118 cents per pound by 31st March this year. An on-year in Brazil with an anticipation of a record harvest is expected to keep Arabica terminals in check in the near term. Keeping this in mind, we put in place an early harvest plan and monetized our Arabica crop well in time. The London coffee terminals for Robusta also dipped through the year, opening at $2,150 per metric ton and closing at $1,780 per metric ton. Through the year, the terminals have gone down to as low as $1,690 per market ton and gradually inched upwards. Conilons are expected to have a high crop, hence there is likely to be some pressure on the terminals. Pepper, which is a focus area for our plantation segment, has also seen a steady decline in prices from about rupees 604 per kilo at the start of the year down to rupees 403 per kilo level by 31st of March 2018. This was primarily driven by a record crop in Vietnam, which crashed international prices and stock entered India through grey channels. Government announced a minimum import price restriction of rupees 500 per kilo in December. And while the move helped firm up prices in the short term to about 460 rupees a kilo, the expectation of a heavy Indian harvest and non-conventional trade flows have softened prices again. We have single-mindedly focused on reaching out to discerning customers who value certified, traceable and premium quality of coffee. We have also completed our first ever export in this segment this year. Profitability in tea has also been impacted due to softer market prices. We harvested a good crop of Arabica and pepper well ahead of last year. Robusta in the southern Coorg districts, on the other hand, saw a very low harvest, probably the lowest in the last 10 years. This was due to an unseasonal rain pattern last year and had a significant impact on profitability. Our commitment to strong cultural practices enabled us to somewhat mitigate the impact. We have focused on investing in rainwater harvesting infrastructure, and today we have achieved 100% captive irrigation capability for both coffee and pepper vines. we have done a strategic shift in our tea portfolio with the conversion of one of our CTC factories to Orthodox, which will hold us in good stead in terms of improved realizations going forward. In anticipation of the lower crop and soluble volume pressures, we have focused on cost optimization initiatives across the business. While we have not been able to mitigate the entire impact, we have been able to drive significant productivity improvements in several areas, which will continue to benefit in the days ahead. The soluble coffee business recovered smartly from the setback in quarter two by delivering growth quarter on quarter. Quarter four was 20% higher than quarter two. The setback was the result of one large customer who faced some pressures and reduced purchase. This pressure actually enabled us to drive new customer acquisition, and I'm very happy to say that we have brought on board multiple new customers, which augurs very well for the future. We have focused on new product development and new customer acquisition to strengthen the base business. We had some significant breakthroughs in co-creating blends with marquee customers and non-Afcosol mixes for specific geographies. Through the year, we have been able to successfully monetize these new blends, contributing to over 15% of our volume. Low terminals demanded agility in our soluble coffee supply chain. We have brought down our green cover to reflect the dropping prices and have also redone some blends to optimize bean costs. The market conditions remain competitive in the near term due to new capacities and a high kernel on crop coupled with a weak Brazilian currency. However, demand drivers for instant coffee remain strong, and the global market is expected to expand at a CAGR of 2 to 4% through to 2025 and ahead of supply growth. Our Vietnam freeze-dried project is well on track. Construction and installation work is on in full swing, and we hope to start production by the end of the year as scheduled. Tata Coffee has received several recognitions in the year, which reaffirm our faith in the strength of the core business. Last year, our Nellore estate, Noakhilot, became the first ever Indian origin coffee to make it to the Starbucks Reserve. This year, again, the Yemegundi estate micro lot repeated the feat. Lots from two of our estates, Nellore and Coover Coli, have also been awarded the best Indian origin coffee by Illy Cafe. Our hospitality business, Plantation Trail, continues to grow profitably and has been awarded the Guest Review Award for 2017 by Booking.com. We have also received the CII Award for Workplace Safety Practices and India's Most Trusted Company Award presented by IBC Infomedia. It is also heartening to note that in a tough year, our employees have managed to contribute over 4,000 hours of volunteering efforts to various causes close to their hearts. This puts us amongst the top 10 Tata Group companies in terms of volunteering. The company's consolidated total income stood at Rs. 1590 crores for the financial year ended 31st March 2018, compared to Rs. 1629 crores of the previous year on account of the lower revenue in company's standalone operations. 8 o'clock coffee has recorded a total volume of $133.74 million for the financial year ended 2018 March 31st, compared to $123.24 million of the previous year. The strong recovery in bag volumes and renegotiation of the Keurig contract were positives for the year. The full benefit of the Keurig contract negotiation will play out in the current financial year. The reduction in U.S. tax rate also helped the PAT numbers. On the downside, competitive pressures aided by higher marketing spends from established players and private label growth continues to impact margins. The consolidated profit before tax for the year is lower at Rs. 186 crores versus Rs. 318 crore for the previous year. The consolidated group net profit post non-controlling interest is Rs. 102 crores compared to Rs. 151 crore for the previous year. In summary, we have witnessed a year with adverse environmental factors and a strong portfolio of initiatives from the management to become more cost efficient. Okay, so I'll just rewind a little bit. To repeat, the consolidated profit before tax for the year is lower at rupees 186 crores vis-a-vis rupees 318 crores for the previous year. Consolidated group net profit post non-controlling interest is rupees 102 crores compared to rupees 151 crore for the previous year. In summary, we have witnessed a year with adverse environmental factors and a strong portfolio of initiatives from the management to become more cost efficient and drive growth through new products and new geographies to sustain future growth. I will now hand it over to my colleague Venkat, who will take you through the financial performance.
Good morning to all. Sanjeev has already sort of reviewed the whole the performance of the year. I just wanted to make a couple of points for opening the floor for questions. One is, of course, has been a very quite difficult year because of the headwinds in the crop and also in the terminals. So this is we are seeing this as a very erratic and uncharacteristic year, as we don't envisage the this kind of very adverse phenomenon normally which is being witnessed. The profit for standalone has been impacted due to the above, and as you can see the impact of that in terms of the fair valuation of the inventories as well. On the consolidated, the 8 o'clock has had a decent year, and the major impact, and they also had the benefit of a lower U.S. tax rate. And we have maintained the dividend at 1.50 per share, which is more or less the same as last year's in terms of there was an additional 0.25 given. Declared as dividend on account of the Tata's 20th year of investment. So with this, I hand over the floor for questions.
Sure, thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline.
Hi, sir. This is Percy Panthaki here. My first question is on the standalone business in the green coffee part of the standalone business. Could you just let us know what is your volume growth this quarter on a YOY basis?
No, actually, as we explained, this year has been on the plantation side, there has been a lower crop. So because of the adverse weather conditions, we did harvest lower crop, which is the major reason for the drop in profits as well. So
how much lower would it be YOY?
See, for example, Robusta, which would have been in the region of around 6,000 tons, it's now we were less than 4,000 tons.
Okay, and there would also be a sort of drop in the realization, right?
Correct.
So the plantation business in value terms would have declined by 35-40% approximately?
On the plantation, you want to look at the segment, the turnover was for the whole year at 310 crores compared to 335, roughly 10-15% drop is there. See, let's understand. The point is the sales products are also out of carry forward stocks. To that extent, whatever we had the carry forward stocks, we got the benefit.
Understood, sir. My estimate of 35-40%, I was talking more about this Q4 versus Q4 last year.
Q4 versus Q4 last year also would not be so much because we have recorded 88 crores of turnover versus 93 of the previous quarter, last year.
Okay, sir. Secondly, just wanted to understand what is happening in
But see, one thing also I just wanted to add, because see, for example, harvest is a more of a seasonal kind of the plantation pattern, because much of the harvest happens in the last quarter. So obviously the benefit of whatever sales realizations, etc., would come in the next year.
Understood, sir. Understood. Sir, next question is on 8 o'clock. Basically, if I just try and derive 8 o'clock by doing console my standalone, the sales growth is very robust at 30% plus, but the margin, gross margin has dipped massively, and sort of it's almost 15 percentage points kind of dip in the gross margin. So could you just explain what is happening both on the top line, how there is such a robust growth, and at the gross margin, why there is such a huge decline in the gross margin, sir?
So one thing which we mentioned last time, Percy, was that we have renegotiated the agreements with Keurig, and we have taken over the distribution of the K-cups for the mass channel particularly. And that's happened in the last few months, which is reflecting on a significantly high turnover. Also, what is happening is in the turnover, there's a lot of production which is being done on a B2B basis for Walmart, and therefore the margins obviously will be differential compared to the branded business.
One other factor which you have to note, see, Percy, the green cost, if you look at the Arabica terminal, see, for it was at 130, 140 levels till September, October. Then the easing started much later. See, normally all the roasters or you know, even the packaged tea manufacturers would carry a longer term inventory of the green. So as a result of it, there is also a little bit of an impact on account of the higher green costs for the whole year.
Understood. So, sir, if basically the terminals remain where they are currently, would it be fair to assume that the gross margin of 8 o'clock business would also continue to remain at the level at which it is in this quarter?
To a large extent, yes. But then I'll have to also caveat, because they normally, as I explained to you, the roasters and other manufacturers would carry a longer-term inventory of their green. So to that extent, whatever the terminal softening would benefit them, being in the branded segment.
Understood. And also just wanted to confirm one thing. Earlier, we had said that when this Keurig contract is renegotiated, both the sales and the absolute profit would also be positively impacted. So has that actually happened, that while on the overall basis, 8 o'clock is seeing a decline in margins because of several other reasons, but as far as the Keurig portion is concerned, the absolute profit also has increased. Is that coming through?
Yes, it is. And the only thing is, see, it is only 2-3 months now since the renegotiation happened. The full benefit of it does not come. So obviously, probably this year would see proper impact.
Okay, and very last question, sir. This Nestle has taken over the Starbucks products business. Does that affect our life in any way?
No, it doesn't. It
doesn't impact us.
Okay, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Rahul Jagwani from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. My questions are regarding the Vietnam plant. So I just want to know how much has been invested up to now, and how much more investment will be made now to the run up to production?
No, actually the plant is in progress. So as of now, we are infused around 37, 38 crores of equity, and the balance is all funded out of debt.
Roughly 38 crores of equity.
Yeah, 37, 38 crores of equity, and the balance is funded out of debt. So there's nothing more, at this stage, because the overall project cost now, it will depend on the completion of the project, which is expected in early 2019.
And what's the balance out of debt which has been funded?
Balance will be roughly in the range of around 20 odd million as of 2025 million.
25 million?
Yeah.
Okay, and so by when do we expect the plant to be fully utilized? I mean, like broadly.
Well, we are going to start production in January of 2019. And obviously our task is to ramp it up as fast as we can. It's very difficult to say whether, but our what we are currently doing is more important, is rolling in customers in anticipation of the work that's happening, and that's on in a very strong manner right now in terms of tie-ups and new customers for filling capacity of the Vietnamese factory.
Okay. And just lastly, I mean, can you throw some light on what are the major incentives that the plant offers? I mean, like, is RM sourcing, tax rate, what are the major benefits we'll get?
Yeah, so this is, we had discussed it about 2 years ago.
So,
I'm little new to the company.
The point is that the plant will use, Robusta majorly. So that means, obviously, Vietnam is the largest producer of Robusta. So basically, there is benefit of the raw material availability there. Of course, they being in the industrial park and all that, there will be some tax incentives for a couple of years.
And the bigger thing which you need to do, that Vietnam itself is a part of multiple trade agreements with different areas, and that which puts us into advantages. And also the custom, the markets we are accessing, working out a better link throughout of Vietnam. So overall, it's a great place to be for this business.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Shall we move to the next question? We take the next question from Yash Agarwal from Crest Capital.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah, hi. So I had a question on the instant coffee business. So, I mean, now that, we've recovered from the Q2 lows, what is the outlook here? Because, the margins in the whole year contracted from 18% to 12%. So do we expect for FY19 to be a normal year with 18% to 19% margins?
So I'm not going to comment on the margins expected, but you have to understand a couple of things. Like we've already mentioned, our volume recoveries are on. What has also happened, while this pressure of the volume was on, very aggressively we have gone and actually opened up multiple new customers, and therefore our spread of sales is going to be far stronger, which also puts us in a very good stead as Vietnam is going to be opening up. You also have to realize some of the pressures on margins are also because of the fact when you open up, the raw material inventories of a higher cost, and that is tapering off. So therefore, all these advantages are going to be playing as we move forward.
So the margin decline that has taken place is due to the lower prices, is it?
It's a mix of prices. It's a mix of a slightly higher raw material cost at the opening, and some mix because of the customers which we mentioned had a problem in the first half. So the mix has changed a little bit towards unfavorable at that moment of time.
Okay. So have we recovered from both the things?
Yeah, so that I'm explaining to you, quarter on quarter, we've been improving. Quarter two, quarter three better than quarter two, quarter four significantly better than quarter three. And like I mentioned, we have a host of new customers where we are now getting into the business, and a lot of new products have been developed, giving us a very strong foothold in certain key markets in the place. So we are pretty buoyant about the year.
Okay. Also, on 8 o'clock, I couldn't, follow, as in, given that it's a branded business and the terminals are low, wouldn't you see a fair bit of margin expansion here? And we've seen the contrary out here by, the gross margins have contracted significantly.
Yeah, so you have to also appreciate two things. One is, as the prices decline, it becomes very competitive in terms of market space with all lead competitors promoting aggressively for market share. That's one. Secondly, all the businesses hold long positions in terms of inventory, and therefore by the time the benefits start rolling in, it takes some time.
So is it fair to assume that now we will start seeing the benefit of the lower cost inventory going forward?
That's what Banker just mentioned, yes.
Okay. And like, what would be like the EBITDA margin for EOC? Because, it's really volatile. I mean, it was 32-33%. Right now it's 18%, So what sort of number should we, or range should we keep in mind for 8 o'clock coffee?
So could be an average margin. See, the point is it's difficult to compare quarter on quarter because of all this, one is the green cost itself, along with the in terms.
Yes, I was asking about the EOC margins.
So I was explaining, so it's quite difficult to put a number to that because of the fact that every year it goes through some amount of intensity of competitive pressures, promotions, green costs and all. So that's the way it is. But the normal thing is it would depend on, again, the market conditions in terms of the competition intensity as well as the, price pass-through on account of the green prices.
But internally, sir, are we working with any targets that, we wish to achieve?
Well, we certainly are. We are certainly working internally with targets, and obviously the fact that we are taking over Keurig and working hard on that is to drive business harder, and the fact that the green coffee costs are coming under control. So all these are certainly going to help the business.
And so I don't follow, what the total investment in Vietnam would be. I mean, you said 37, 38 crore equity. So what's the debt component?
Roughly we had said in the Indian rupee terms around the 350 to 380 crores.
Okay.
So the expectation as of now is that we have infused 37, 38 crores of equity. The balance would be funded out of debt.
Okay, so only about, so the rest 300 odd crores will be fully debt.
Yeah.
Okay. And so one last question I have. In the balance sheet, in the consolidated balance sheet, we see the other non-current assets have moved up from 5 odd crores to 186 crores. So what is that element?
Which is the number?
The other non-current assets in the consolidated balance sheet is that 186 crores against 5 crores. Is this the investment in Vietnam only?
Yeah,
it will
be Vietnam related, yes.
Okay. So all of it is in Vietnam, isn't it?
One second, just a second. Yeah, this would represent, all the capex and all that. So all the capital advances on account of the Vietnam project majorly, plus there will be some domestic capital advances.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from Srinath, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, this is Srinath.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand what are the measures which we are trying to adopt to mitigate the price fluctuation. Because on a quarter-on-quarter, we are seeing a dip in profitability. And are we trying to move away from a commodity play to branded play? Because if I review the other... say products or stuff like that. So then, they don't face much of price fluctuation, which is visible in their share prices as well. I think they are kind of a little more into the instant coffee market and stuff like that. And so that is quite visible in Tata Coffee, like the shares as well. Because if you look at the last, like around the time of this year, 5 years back, it was around 155 or something like that, and today's 125. There is hardly anything for the individual investor. So I'm just trying to understand from that perspective.
That's an interesting question. I think we are very clear. We are a B2B player right now. And the fact is we have a commodity, large commodity component. What we're actually working within this is a couple of things. One is the entire space of sweating our assets, and therefore if you look at this entire movement into pepper, takes the same land value and adds significant throughputs out of the acreage of property which we have, which is adding a significant amount of turnover as well as EBIT margins to the business. So one of the tasks really is to look at how we can sweat these assets a bit more. The other thing over the last 2-3 years you would have noticed and we've been talking about is our entire effort to premiumize our coffees. Significant portions of our green are now sold at premium, direct to roasters. We have been working aggressively, getting links with roasters going directly. That is helping us embed ourselves with customer relationships, which is helping our realizations, stabilizing them. We've talked about the micro lots. While they're very, very small, they put a halo on our product quality, which is coming in. The entire move, if you look at our Vietnam investment, is going into freeze-dried, which is the higher end of the coffee chain. So all these efforts, if you look at, Srinath, are really telling us We are moving up the value chain and trying to distance ourselves from large commodity fluctuations. But the base commodity will impact us. Yes, that will.
Yeah, and how about the Tata Coffee Grand?
Yeah, so Tata Coffee Grand is being marketed and distributed through Tata Global Beverages. The product has been developed jointly by us. And they are also in the business of establishing it. They have launched the Tata Coffee Grand. The instant coffee was launched about 2 years. Now they're focusing on some states to grow the business. They've launched a filter coffee version in the southern markets, which is again doing very well. Started to do well in the southern region. So, and they're also doing direct to the trade, which are the coffee shops. They have special blends for that. So they're also working their way up to establish the brand.
Okay, and may you know what's the current market share for Tata Coffee Grand? So along with
because we're not a national player right now, though I can tell you that over the last year and a half, the market shares have been increasing.
Okay, and do we have any plans to take it to the national level through advertising and stuff like that?
So that you really has to be discussed with Tata Group because they are the ones who are leading the brand in the marketplace.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from Jayant Mamania from Care Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Morning.
In case of 8 o'clock coffee, if you leave apart the Walmart B2B sales, what was the growth in 8 o'clock? And whether Walmart business is a recurring business or a one-time business?
So, no, Walmart is a very large customer of the business, and also the private label is something which they have begun as Walmart wants to get more and more aggressive in the private label space. So, it is a continuing growing business.
So, we have done business with the Walmart for the first time, or it was there in the...
No. Walmart has been consistent suppliers to them. The private label production has recently started.
Okay. So, if you leave apart the Walmart business, what was the growth in our retail branded sales?
Which one you are asking?
8 o'clock.
No, 8 o'clock, the overall bag volume, they have sort of, the market share has been in the range of around 6%.
And they're holding the market share.
They're holding the market share.
So they're growing with the market right now.
Yeah.
So I wanted the percentage growth in the sales as compared to Q4 or Q3 in case of 8 o'clock sales, if you leave apart the Walmart sales.
No, if you leave apart, I don't think there's been any growth in volumes per se. They have been sort of holding on to the volumes.
Uh-huh.
But obviously the growth will come through the, Keurig renegotiation and all that in terms of the hiccups.
Mm-hmm. Sir, we have a lot of focus on premiumization in coffee business. So, to what extent in terms of percentage will it make difference? As compared to value-added sales and the premiumization sales?
See, the entire journey is to premiumize. If you want me to put percentage numbers, I'm not too sure we should be getting into that. If I start with the instant coffee business, the entire instant coffee business is value addition, and as we go, so let's say we are doing 2,000 tons of freeze-dried coffee right now. A year or 2 years down the road, that will become 7,000 tons of freeze-dried, which is a significant jump up in terms of the product profitability. In terms of all our Arabicas, bulk of our sales are now going directly as premiumized coffees. So that is a significant move upwards. So in all the fields, and actually in Pepper also, we have begun direct contacts with buyers because of our sustainability efforts that are going in. International buyers are talking to us, buying to us. Some of the leading companies, I can't reveal the names, who are Indian food manufacturers are now coming to us because of our strict adherence to sustainability matters, sustainability traceability. So all these efforts are going to increase returns for the business per ton or per hectare of product, either area, whatever way you look at it.
Sir, how is the scenario for the current year? Last year, the environment was not in favor and the terminal prices were low. So, how you look at the current year?
So, like I mentioned in my opening, we see we're not seeing rapid improvement in terminals. However, if you look at the terminals today from about 1760, they're running at about 1810 right now. Robustas have moved up. The Arabicas have marginally gone up. They had gone to a lower 118, opening around 125, 126. Pepper still continues to be sub 400. But these, you'll have to wait and see what happens, which way they're going to go. But the immediate view is because of the crop and stuff like that, it's going to be in those kind of bandwidths.
Sir, during the softening prices, we take a hit on inventory also. And if that period is passed on, will it benefit in an 8 o'clock business?
Yeah, so when you mentioned that.
Yeah, definitely softening of prices will benefit 8 o'clock, as well as our instant coffee business also will get the benefit.
Correct. Okay. And like I've also mentioned, we have also, our own green coffee covers we brought down significantly so that we're as close to the real coffee markets in our cost base.
Okay. Sir, can you say something about the launching of new products, new garnering of new customers, and entering into new geographies?
So, over the years, we have opened new markets. We've gone into places like Spain, we've gone into Australia, we've entered customers, large customers. I don't think I should be revealing customers because these are one-on-one
customers.
So geographies, critical ones, we've opened up. We've gone into Korea, we've gone into Australia, we've gone into Spain. So all these are new entrants for us, opening up new vistas for us, for our business.
Okay. That's all my point. Thank you.
And like I also mentioned, we've opened large geographies, opened very large customers who are now starting to deal with us.
Okay. So one more question. In the balance sheet, there is one item under investment in property, which has reduced from 68 crores to 50 crores. What is that?
No, we had invested in a property in commercial space in Chennai, the one floor of which we were able to sell during the quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to our participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next question is from Akhil Parekh from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So this is new company for me, so please bear my ignorance. So I am going through your filings and you say the value-added business has contributed 416 crore of sales to FY18. So that means value-added, is it pure instant coffee business or anything else is included?
Instant coffee business.
Okay, so 8,000 ton of, so you have, we have 8,000 ton of, approximately 8,000 ton of capacity.
Approximately, yeah, close to 9,000 tons of instant coffee we produce.
Okay, so that 9,000 ton is contributing 416 crore.
Depending on the quantum of sales, because again, exactly we will not be producing and selling 9,000, but to the extent of that.
But broadly, it's purely soluble coffee business.
Correct.
Okay, and so I see the operating profits has obviously dipped from 18% to 12.3% on year-on-year basis. And you mentioned it's mainly because of lower volumes, in fact. So there's no decline in realizations per se?
No, we have had some impact on realizations.
So what has happened is two things. We have held on to our customer prices.
Okay.
There has been some impact because of rupee strengthening, and therefore the Indian realization would have got impacted marginally by that. And that's really where the impact is. And at the beginning of the year, as we move downwards, you're obviously carrying some inventory at previously higher prices. As the market declines, that is getting replenished and flushed out by the lower end costs of the beans right now.
Okay. So broadly, it's basically volume, inventory loss, and the currency impact.
Yes.
Okay. In terms of designing the contracts with the client, so instant coffee, do we have like back-to-back contracting? Like, is it a pass-on clause is there?
No, so our business is actually not on, there's some back-to-back, some are long-term commitments, some are spot. So it depends on which customers we are dealing with.
Okay. But broadly, you will be able to tell like how much are back-to-back contracts or the total sales, I mean, total number of clients or something? Okay.
Yeah.
So my question was, in terms of percentage-wise, broadly, would you be able to tell how many contracts are like percentage-wise back-to-back contracts and how many are waste, how many don't have?
I don't think we should be getting down to that.
But
Really, it's a mix of having long-term relationships that you're working towards and trying to build stability in that area and being able to work with customers, doing product development jointly with them and creating stickiness.
Okay, fair enough. So of the 8,000 ton, 5 is spray and 3 is freeze-dried, right?
Not 3, 2,000 is freeze-dried.
2,000 is freeze-dried. So just coming back to the question.
It will become 7,000 tons when Vietnam opens up.
Okay. So how much realization, so like broad ballpark number we are expecting, so like of the 350 CR we are investing, 350 to 380 CR on 5,000 ton of freeze-dried capacity, so like 1x of asset turn would be a fair assumption for freeze-dried plant?
So that depends on the pricing assumptions. It's quite difficult to say at this stage.
Correct. No, but on the current pricing, I would say, like, so whatever the current prices are, current realizations for freeze, right?
Okay. Yeah. So it will be in the range of 400 to 500 crores.
Okay. Sanjeev is saying about the overall turnover, let's say when it stabilizes.
Correct.
Okay, so at full utilization level, we are expecting 400 to 500 CR in freeze.
Around 400 crore.
Yeah.
Okay. So operating margin, if I'm not mistaken, broadly is around 30%, right, for the freeze rate, as against spray rate, which is like 10-15%.
I'm not sure we should be venturing into those areas, but you have to understand this is a high-end value-added product and certainly moving us in a more profitable area.
Okay. Okay, so but we are seeing the demand, right, on the freezer, because I am seeing like CCL is also expanding.
Yeah, so this is what I opened up again, saying that we have seen, while the overall supply-demand gap with coffee is there, the demand gap in freeze-dried is going to keep increasing because the markets are increasingly looking at freeze-dried because of its quality and taste parameters.
Coming back to the question of Nestle and the Starbucks, where Nestle is going to market the Starbucks coffee through their distribution channel, I was going through a Bloomberg article where this is kind of seen as a signal where they're seeing a pressure on their instant coffee business in U.S. And you have mentioned in your opening remarks that you are seeing a robust demand in instant coffee. So there is a discrepancy in these two things, basically.
I don't know what the discrepancy is because U.S. is not where the instant coffees are growing. Instant coffees are growing in the Eastern Hemisphere, largely.
And which countries, like broadly, which countries would be?
So it would be in Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia, East Asia, Western, Eastern Europe. Okay, these are the markets that are still growing.
That's where we are focusing on for as well as the...
Which is why Vietnam is so important geographically, the location.
Correct. Okay. Okay, then the last question. In terms of competitors in instant coffee business, like CCL, Nestle, Super and Olam, that is what I'm aware of. Are there any bigger competitors in this chain for freeze-dried coffee?
No, bigger ones, I think you named them.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we'd like to inform participants that in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. We take the next question from the line of Sameer Madan, who's an individual investor.
Hello. Hi. I have a question about our pepper business. You mentioned a bit earlier in the call that there has been a lot of focus on expanding pepper since it's an intercrop and doesn't need us to dedicate precious real estate to pepper specifically. So my question is, can you share a bit about, say, 3 years ago and now, what is our difference in our capacity for growing pepper, and how is that then expected to look in the plus 3 year horizon? So a minus 3 outlook, so we understand what kind of journey we are making, and a plus 3 outlook, please.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so over, let's start, what, 3-4 years back, from an average production of about 300-400 tons, we're up to about 1,000 ton plus right now. OK,
Okay, and it is not dedicating specific land for pepper. Pepper is an intercrop with coffee, and therefore it's not occupying any dedicated land for it. We are using all the shade trees for coffee for growing pepper vines. So therefore, it's really coming out of no incremental land which is being brought in.
Yes, and so what about
over the last, we were about say 7 or 8 lakh wines. We're taking it up to 18 lakh wines, which, being an agri product, it takes 3-4 years for it to mature, and therefore all the growths are going to be significant as we move forward.
Okay, that's good enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Yash Agarwal from Crest Capital.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Hello, sir. So one more, you know, vision question from me. You know, I mean, you've emphasized a lot on the call about all the initiatives you've taken. But from a 3-4 year view, I mean, where do you see the company in terms of, you know, business mix, margins and return ratios that, you know, you're targeting, sir?
So I can't give you exact numbers, but you have to step back and see, put the numbers together. Vietnam is adding 5,000 tons of freeze-dried to our capacity. And Venkat has just mentioned, I mentioned about 400-500 crores of turnover coming from that. We're also talking about the fact that pepper is a growth area. We're talking about going to 18 lakh wines. So therefore, serious amount of growth coming in that area. And the fact that we're already doing a lot of work directly with roasters and therefore premiumizing. And that is what's going to drive the business forward.
Okay. But, you know, is there a ROE or ROC, you know, metric that you are, you know, focusing
on? Internally, yes, for all investments, we have to be looking at ROE and ROC numbers. And we certainly look at that for our own performance, because that's ultimately what the shareholder will look at. Yes, so we do work on that.
Okay. Also, so this renegotiation with Keurig that, you know, you're talking about the real benefit will come in FY19. Could you quantify what sort of revenue and EBITDA would that
Very difficult to do that. But I think what you need to step back and appreciate is that renegotiation has happened where the company has actually taken over direct distribution of this growth category in the business and will leverage its own distribution network to drive business growth. And actually what has happened is we have taken on channels which we are strong with. Some of the channels where Keurig is strong are left with them. So it's a win-win for both sides.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder once again to our participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next question is from Lakshmikant Khanvilkar from Ticker Plant. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. This is Lakshmikant. I don't know whether you have explained about this Nestle deal. I mean, Nestle is trying to pay some $7 billion to Starbucks. So how do you react to this piece of news? And what will be your move going forward? I mean, Nestle would definitely sell its own coffee and not the Tata coffee. So how do you plan to promote your own sale?
It doesn't impact us at all.
It won't impact?
No.
Can you just provide little details about this, because I have joined little later.
No, no, because Nestle is an independent company and they are dealing independently with Starbucks. We are B2B players supplying to a world of private label players across the world. So we are not impacted by this work.
Okay. So you are totally, I mean, secured?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Much. That was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for being on the line and giving us a chance to explain what has happened in the year. I just want to re-emphasize that we have been very, very consciously trying to go up the value chain in terms of products, in terms of prices, and in terms of quality and customer reach. Trying to distance ourselves as much as we can from one of the persons, somebody asked about commodity fluctuations. So we are certainly working exceedingly hard on this. A lot of work has gone even in the supply chain and sustainability and managing of water supplies, becoming self-determinant rather than being dependent on the vagaries of environment. What we have seen in this 1 year has been kind of unexpected, unusual, and possibly a one-off kind of thing, where the entire coffee category in the region where it has impacted has hurt everybody. And therefore, going forward, the task is to ensure we are on top of all this and get the business back rapidly from where it was. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.